What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Power Rankings Guide. We are here with a special post-season podcast for you guys. We don't normally do this, but we're super excited to be back here with a very, very special podcast for you guys tonight. As always, I'm Paul. I'm here with Joe.
Hi, everybody.
And the Wolverine Wars have finally ended. We have come to a peace treaty in the Wolverine Wars.
The dust has settled. The votes have been cast, and we have a winner.
We have a winner. We have quite a winner, too, in the Swag Daddy, Swag Master. I don't even know what other nicknames he's going to come up with. Dale himself has won Survivor Michigan Wolverine Wars.
Yeah. What a wild ride
it has been. Oh, my gosh. Yes.
I feel like one of the craziest sort of like story arcs, and honestly, one of the most entertaining, not only seasons, but an entertaining winner in Dale.
Totally.
And honestly, even with Shannon coming in second, I think she would have been an amazing winner too, and equally as entertaining. So it was like we really, you know, whichever way it would have ended up, I think it would have capped off the season super well. So. It's rare to say that, you know, at a finale.
I totally agree. This was really a top tier season. And there was some intrigue going into the finale, kind of about how we would finish up here or who was going to win. But the way the chips fell, man, it was just all Dale.
Yeah, all Dale. So, yeah, so going into the episode, we started with the final five, right?
Yes.
And I know we had talked about this in our last episode, just kind of what would happen at five, depending on who won immunity. So, of course, we had sort of the two pairs in Dale and Matthew, and then Kat and Shannon with Nate kind of on his own. And I remember us talking about, like, if Nate wins immunity, we almost kind of wanted to see that.
Yes.
To kind of just see which pair would win out.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, the puzzler
couldn't
pull it out and did not win the final five immunity. So the writing was kind of on the wall there.
Definitely.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, he could not remember George's name.
Oh, my goodness. How do you forget George?
How do you forget George? The icon, the one of the co-founders of this great game. We call Survivor Michigan, the guest host for half an episode, you know, oh my gosh. And especially the callback to his confessional being like, I don't care who George is, like, who is George? Like, am I supposed to know who this person is? Oh my gosh. You couldn't ask for better content than that. And then us screaming at our televisions being like, yes, you're supposed to know who he is. It's going to wind up being very costly that you don't.
Man, yeah, what a moment. That was just, he was just so far ahead, too. Like, he
could
have
gosh.
Easily gotten that. And
he was so good at these challenges, puzzle challenges. Man, just really kind of felt like he really would have been in it. And the way that last challenge was structured, man, you had to kind of feel like if he's there in the final four, he's the favorite.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, now, again, Dale had his idol, so I think, you know, it was really kind of like Shannon and Kat's, like, let's say Nate would have won immunity. Like, they could have scooped. I think Nate would have went with the two of them, to be honest.
Yeah, for sure.
To take out Matthew or Dale.
Yeah.
So I think either, you know, Shannon knew about Dale's second idol, so I think it probably would have been Matthew there. So that would have changed up the dynamics going into the final four. And I think I think in that instance, Dale not winning final four, I think he would have gone.
Definitely.
Unless he, you know, I mean, him and Shannon's relationship this season has been so interesting.
It's very true.
I don't know. Maybe he would have convinced her that Nate was the biggest threat. I mean, we've heard that in the season mentioned a couple times that people thought Nate would be a jury threat. So, again, you know, everyone's perception is different. And especially from the viewer, like we kind of see who we think are maybe the top two going into the end, but that doesn't mean that the players do. So it would have been very interesting had Nate gone to Final Four and then what would have happened there. It's, you know,
so I many totally would have, agree. I think if it kind of boils down to that, where Nate is in that Final Three with Shannon, with Dale, I mean, even I guess in some crazy way with both of them, you know, it really could, you know, that could be really quite the showdown. I, with the makeup of this jury, I have no idea how that goes.
Yeah, we could have seen votes split against all three of them, honestly.
I know. But alas, that was not to be, as Nate was voted out. 4-1, Dale plays that idol for Matthew just as insurance he didn't need. So, yeah. And then we get to this Final Four, and oh my, this immunity challenge, oh my gosh. So much is going on in this immunity challenge.
I know. And I had just watched or finished actually rewatching all of the Amazing Race seasons.
Okay.
So just hearing that music and just knowing that it was Amazing Race style kind of was really fun. But yeah, there was so much happening. I like that they got a choice whether to, it was like, you know, fill out the puzzle of the schools or to race around the track, but not in a traditional run.
Yes.
Which I thought was very interesting.
Yes.
But yeah, when Dale chose to do that at first, I was like, oh no, this isn't good. But even that challenge, I mean, I was trying to, I mean, obviously I haven't been in college in a long time, but I was trying to think back. Thinking back now, I was like, I don't know if I could even name 8 of the schools of my college. So that was definitely tough. I liked that aspect of it where it was just, you know, it wasn't necessarily survivor related. It was just like, hey, this is our school and what do you know about it?
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree. I think it had a little bit of everything, which was so fun. Dale was really willing to go all night if he had to.
I know.
Yeah, that was such an entertaining guy. Such an entertaining guy. I mean, we'll get to it. But, right. Oh my gosh, so good. And then the winner of this challenge is Kat.
I'm still speechless now, and it's been weeks since this episode has aired. But, yeah, that was just crazy. It's just so funny, like, with how sort of nonchalant Kat has been throughout this entire season. Like, this is the challenge that she decided to just kind of go all out for. And, yeah, very unexpected. I was not expecting that. They had to find the Easter eggs, right?
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was really funny. Matthew was wanting to Venmo someone to help him find it, which, hey, I mean, use everything that you can, you know,
gotta do what you gotta do.
But yeah, I felt for Dale because it was like he was just so far behind.
Mm-hmm.
And then they were taking the bus and it was just so, so chaotic. But yeah, Kat was the winner. Very, very interesting ending to that challenge.
Yeah, I mean, she really kind of had her moment of like, this is her finale moment. She's not going to win. You know, that's, you know, that's not going to happen. But here she is, she's in her finale, and she plays this extremely pivotal role in the Final Four, saying like, hey, this is, I'm going to the Final Three. And I won my way there and causing this whole mess with everybody else.
Yeah. And just seeing, you know, obviously, from our eyes, like Shannon needs to take out Dale here, but again, with Matthew and Dale being a pair, the most that they could have done is tie it.
Do you think if in that conversation Matthew and Shannon have, if Shannon says we're voting for Dale, do you think Matthew flips? I think he does. I think he votes for Dale in that situation. If Kat, if he goes to Shannon and Shannon's like, yeah, we're both voting for Dale, I don't think he forces the tie.
Yeah,
I think the only reason he votes for Shannon is in the hopes that Dale will force the tie with him, so he can go to
whatever a tiebreaker
is against Shannon. Because, you know, Matthew also, he's certainly a savvy enough game player to look at the writing on the wall and say, nobody's beating Dale.
That's true. And I think, didn't Matthew mention something about that in his jury question to Shannon potentially?
I think so. I can't remember if it was in the jury question or in the, like, the podcast he did or something, like some sort of in the realm of content we have talked about that. Yes.
Yeah. No, that you bring up a good point. Yeah. I do think if Shannon was like, yes, we're doing Dale, I think Matthew definitely would have done that. Mm-hmm. And obviously Shannon most likely would have won there against Matthew.
The way everybody makes it sound is that she wins going away in that situation, which we weren't 100% sure about when we talked about it pre-finale, but the way everybody talked about it, it was like our estimation was off and she was absolutely going to take it in that situation. So that's, man, that was tough.
Yeah, that was tough. And I think I was thinking about this earlier, like, and I know we've talked about it before, but like these people have been playing this game for how many days? Like,
oh my gosh.
80, 90. So it's like, it was very interesting seeing Shannon sort of struggle with taking out Dale, who she had formed such a good friendship with. And, you know, it's just, that's just part of what's so interesting about, especially College Survivor, with how long it lasts. Like, you're spending so much time with these people, and especially in a decision that's at the end of the game when you've been in it for so long. Like, you know, I feel like everyone's on different levels as far as maybe being able to separate game and friendship.
Yeah.
So obviously we see that here where Shannon just, unfortunately just wasn't able to do that. And even though she kind of knew going with Dale, she would lose. I think she even said it. I think that was one of her questions, right? It was like, would you rather win or what was it? It was like, would you rather win or vote or like ruin your friendship with Dale or something similar to that? And she said, or no, would you rather lose or like ruin your friendship with Dale? And I think she said that she would rather lose the game. So just very interesting dynamic there and kind of watching her struggle with that was really interesting. And honestly, like, now thinking back to earlier in the season, like, you know, she was upset about taking out Jack, and that was how many weeks ago, and she was upset about taking out Megan, and so it's not as surprising that she made that decision, just kind of seeing how she was with earlier players, but still tough. And obviously, like, we were rooting for her too, so it was kind of like, you know, sitting on the couch, we're like, you need to take out Dale here and then you win, Shannon, like, you're right there, it's so close. But obviously that's easier said than done.
Yeah, I mean, she played a really emotional game, really start to finish, just very hard on her sleeve, very emotional, which is why she was so likable and so fun to watch. And at the end of the day, you know, it's the same thing that I said about Nicole Senti during Survivor Maryland. It's like, people make their decisions for all sorts of reasons, and some people make their decisions to say, my friendship is more important than this. And that's a valid way to make your decisions. It's not a valid way to win the game necessarily,
because
it doesn't really turn out that way. But if you're choosing to make your decisions that way, then that's your choice, and it's respectable in itself. And, you know, it doesn't diminish our love for Shannon, and it was very painful to watch her kind of have that morning after realization of, like, I just lost this, according to the wiki, 104-day-long game. You know?
Yeah.
Which, you know, that I can't imagine what kind of feeling that must be. But, you know, it, at the end of the day, you know, she's still a beloved Survivor Michigan player, still an icon, oh, for sure. At least from mm-hmm. where I'm sitting, definitely iconic.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, she got two votes, you know, mm-hmm. to kind of get into that, the jury stage of the game. She gets Nate and Ivy's vote, or no, Nate and Megan's vote, I think, yes. right? Yes, Nate yep. and Megan's vote. And so she gets Nate and Megan's vote, so it's not 7-0. Mm-hmm. You know, and in a situation with a 7-person jury, she only has to get two more votes somewhere. And I feel right. like there were votes on the table for her. So it wasn't, I don't necessarily agree that she totally lost the game with the moment she voted out Matthew.
Mm-hmm.
I think that it was.
She just kind of had like a tougher uphill battle maybe with.
Yeah.
Going against Dale instead of voting him out.
And I also think there were issues with her final tribal council performance
mm.
where I think, because like you said, there's that moment where she's like, no, I'd rather lose than vote out Dale.
Right.
And I think if she goes into that going, no, I took Dale here because I wanted to beat the best player in the end, and kind of has yeah. a little bit more defiant yeah. attitude about it. Rather than coming in so sheepish about like, yeah, I probably should have voted him out, but I didn't want to mess up the friendship. Like, I think if she comes into the end and talks like that, I think there are more votes available to her. Maybe somebody like Ivy is way more amenable to voting for her. And even maybe Katie, maybe Jack, you know, mm-hmm. I think that there are votes on the table too. So I think that it wasn't a totally lost cause even after she votes out Matthew.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And I remember feeling the same way. Like she kind of just went into Final Tribal almost like defeated.
Mm-hmm, I agree.
And I agree with you. I think if she would have went in a little bit more confident in her game, and like you said, you know, pitching that, hey, you know, Dale was one of the best, like I wanted to battle him here and may the best person win. I think you're right. I think she could have probably squeaked out another vote or two.
Yeah.
And could have turned the tides there. So
definitely.
So yeah.
She needed Maggie's journal. She needed like Mallory right, needed little, to leave like, Maggie's journal on yeah. Survivor Michigan Ghost Island. Mm-hmm. And then it could mature and Shannon could find it. And
yeah. Two extra jury votes.
Exactly. It's perfect. But we've talked enough about the runners up. Let's get into the game of our winner, season 4, Dale. What a game.
What a game. Again, 104-day game. I think he just played a great game overall. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think just start to finish. I mean, I feel like he was a target for a long time,
mm-hmm.
but I think he just maneuvered really well through that. And, you know, he had the two idols, but I don't even really think that mattered much.
No.
Especially in that I vote where he was sitting there with two, he knew he was getting a couple votes. Like, I think that was a testament to his game. During mm-hmm. that round was like he knew he had enough people on his side, even with a couple people targeting him and having two idols there, like he was able to not need either of them to get through that. And I think that was just a testament to you know, his social game there. So
there were not a lot of holes in the guy's game. I mean, from day one, from moment one, you go back through their time on Tokidoki, you know, the post swap and him and Jackson pulling in Katie. From there, it's like you look at it and you go, it's not a perfect game, mm-hmm. but it's pretty close. There are not a lot of mistakes through the whole thing you can look at. I mean, you can say at the Aliza boot when him and Jackson pull Katie and maybe he could have been in trouble there if Matthew and Aliza play that differently. The Ivy boot, maybe. But by the Ivy boot, he's got two idols. You look at the whole – and he's got an idol at the Aliza boot too. So if he doesn't feel like he's got Katie, I mean – so you look at the whole of the season – and you think, where did they even really have a shot to take him out? Unless they really James Clement him and blindside him early merge with two idols.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't ever see a point where that's going to happen. Not with Jack still on the game, that's for sure.
Right.
You know, he cut Jackson at really the exact right moment.
Mm-hmm.
Won that clutch Final Five immunity when he needed to. What's not to like?
Yeah, and being entertaining as heck time.
And that's like, what we so rarely see is usually the winner of the season is somebody who played a solid game.
Mm-hmm.
But rarely do we ever see somebody, you know, on CBS or in College Survivor who is just so entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
So funny, so cool, so suave, so swag daddy. You know, so many of those things. And then playing that impeccable strategic and social game that he played, it's like, man, that is an all-around great player.
Yeah, I would love to see someone do like a College Survivor winner's breakdown.
Yes.
And just do like a comparison to all of the ones that we know of so far. And I feel like Dale's easily got to be top three.
Totally.
Is that safe to say?
I think top three is safe to say. And I, you know, would struggle to think of people whose game would be on top of his, really. He just played such an excellent game and really did it with a smile. Did it really never, I mean, you can say he's, I guess, sort of stabbed Jackson in the back, kind of. But with the way Jackson was playing his game, you can't even really say that because it was, you know, at some point it was going to be one of the two of them, you know, coming into combat. So it was never going to be, you know, it was never going to be Dale and Jackson at the end. There was no version of that was ever going to happen in reality.
Right.
So, you know, besides that, you kind of have that where you play that game with a smile. You know, it's like, you know, almost sort of the JT game, except his tribe was so much better in challenges. So he was never really in that numerical underdog spot the way the Jalapau people were in Tonkatides.
Mm-hmm.
So he's, you know, what's not to like? That's kind of what you come away with this season saying about Dale is like, he's, you know, definitely this like alpha dude bro, and yet you walk away really liking him, really feeling like he was funny, entertaining. He has so many wigs, more wigs per confessional ratio than any survivor in history, I think we've seen. I don't know. We'll have to get Jeff Pittman to do the math on that one at all the statistics, but I think the wig to confessional ratio is at an all-time great. And, you know, he is definitely somebody who, like, gets on my CBS list, too, for all of those reasons.
Right. Yeah. And I the oldest College Survivor winner that I think we know of.
Absolutely.
We need to give props there. Do you think being a little bit older than everybody else helped him? Do you think maybe his, like, life experience sort of helped him kind of navigate this, or do you think
it could have gone either way, but I think he utilized it. Like, I think he, especially you look at like his relationship with Shannon and that very much big brother little sister dynamic that he intentionally created from the beginning. We see in what, episode one or two, he's saying, "I'm the oldest, you're the youngest, who would think we'd ever be meeting together?"
Yeah, that was pivotal.
He's thinking that way way before anybody else is, you know? And I think instead of letting it make him kind of the odd man out, he uses that maturity and that kind of tribe dad thing. You know, he's taking the kids on field trip to White Castle and like all, and he's just, he leaned into it just the right amount and really just made it work. And then obviously you talk about, you know, the emotional maturity of somebody who, you know, has a wife and, you know, is already has been through undergrad and has experienced that. And, you know, there is a certain something that you get from being in that place of life. Mm-hmm. And then he's also still able to fit in with the, you know, 20-21 year olds and be Drunk Dale and all of the swag daddy stuff that we love him for. He's got both of those gears. And so I do think that his age helped him, but I also think it was the way he weaponized it and utilized it that really was the difference in this season.
Yeah. And I actually, as we're talking about it, I don't remember if I mentioned this to you before, but it's kind of like a Derek Levasseur game from Big Brother. Oh,
that's a great point. Absolutely.
Where I think he did a similar thing. Like, he knew he was a little bit older. He was a dad. Like, and I think he, in one of his interviews, he was like, yeah, like, I put on a beanie. I grew some facial hair. Like, he morphed into sort of a younger player to sort of bridge the gap between, you know, him and a lot of the other players there. And like you said, kind of weaponized that to his advantage. So I definitely got that same vibe from Dale as well, sort of just like a Derek Big Brother game.
Yeah, I think we referenced that way back at the beginning when he was shaving his face. I think you were the one who caught that way early on in the season when he was shaving his face. You were like, oh, this reminded me of Derek.
Yes,
and then man,
that was what it was. Yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly how he played.
Mm-hmm.
And mad kudos to him for it. So good.
Yeah. Yeah, he did a great job. So fun to watch. We will remember Dale as a College Survivor winner for many years to come. So, and he did it for the older of the world.
He did it for us. I feel so represent. You know, representation matters. And for 30-somethings on College Survivor, Dale is like he's like our king now. Like, we have to like all hail Dale, which rhymes, and I didn't mean for it to, but it's true. So now, like, whenever we go to apply to LRGs and stuff, they'd be like, who do you want to play like? And they're like, I want to play like Dale, man. that's my number one answer. I just want to be Dale.
That's so funny. Yeah, he did awesome. It was really fun to watch. The season overall was great. I know we've talked about it a million times. The editing was awesome. We got to shout out that again. Just what a great season overall. So many great characters. You know, Survivor Michigan continues to get better and better every season, which is great for the fans and great for us. So kudos to everybody involved.
All right, so loyal listeners of the Power Rankings, guys, this is the biggest day we have had so far in all of our recordings. So you've heard us all year long, or all season long, we've been talking about everything Wolverine Wars, all this stuff, and we finally have, live on a podcast, the biggest name we could get, the icon. Yes, the most important figure of this season of Survivor Michigan, and she brought her husband. So if you'll welcome onto the Power Rankings, guys, Anne and Dale Jarris. How are you guys?
We're good.
Great.
We're excited to be here.
Very excited.
We've heard that there was a few questions out there. You know, all of these exit interviews talk to the players, but since people thought it was so strange that I was married throughout the season, what better way to get firsthand knowledge from the Mrs. herself?
Yeah, we've heard enough, Dale. We've heard enough from you. We've gotten enough of your game and your backstory. So we definitely want to. We have a lot of great questions for Anne. So we're really excited that you both are here. This is, like Paul said, this is like made the year for us.
So let's dive right in. So Anne and Dale, Survivor Michigan's power couple. How did you meet? Tell us the story.
I have to tell this?
Yeah, this is for you. I'm just
met in like how we started dating.
Yeah.
Sure, yeah.
So we really met in high school. I was a sophomore, Dale was a senior graduating, and we kind of had a lot of mutual friends. We both went to high schools in the same town, but we were rivalry high schools. So it was in the northwest suburbs of Chicago. So yeah, really just hanging out one summer. I think it was summer 2008. And then it just kind of developed from there. We were together all summer. And then Dale went off to college. He was two school grades older than me. So we were kind of on and off throughout college. And then on consistently after college. So it's been a minute. but yeah, always Dale's keeping it exciting. So never boring.
It's been coming up on 13. I think this summer was our 13th year together. So it's been a while.
Wow. Congrats.
That's amazing.
That's awesome.
Doesn't feel like it. But we're really an old married couple in our soul.
That's great. Now, the big question is, did Dale ever take you to White Castle for a date?
It's a good question.
He takes me to all the fast food places. We go out to dinner somewhere where, you know, we have some wine, sit down for a few hours. No, I got this great new place. Taco Bell down the street.
Yeah. I'm a huge fiend for like Taco Bell, White Castle, McDonald's. So I'm and she always wants at least like a step up to fast casual. So she asks for like Noodles and Company and Chipotle, but I'm too cheap for that. So she gets White Castle and she gets frustrated.
So you guys have been together for 13 years. So I imagine, Anne, you have met a lot of these Dale characters before, or did these just emerge for Survivor Michigan?
I knew most of them. He kind of always puts on a show wherever we go. The couch boy, he was doing for a while. I don't know if it was pre-Survivor. I didn't know he really, did you incorporate
it? There's a little bit of couch boy in the show when you were gone with visiting your dad, but not as much. But yeah, couch boy has been an ongoing thing for sure.
Yeah, most of them have been ongoing. You know, I kind of try and ignore these characters. they'll be somewhere in the background wherever we are. I'll kind of just like, oh, it's just Dale being Dale, kind of like pawn him off to someone else that will listen to him. But they're always around.
Do you have a favorite?
Do you have a favorite?
You tell me. Depends on what setting we're talking about, Paul and Joe. You catch my drift?
Okay. Now that's a Power Rangers guys exclusive right there.
No, we're
that's great.
Super embarrassed. Like I have like a semi-decent Snapchat following. I have some high energy Snapchats, and I always try to incorporate some sort of characters into my snaps. And whenever we're traveling, you know, pre-pandemic, when we were abroad, I would just do the most obnoxious shit, like in historical landmarks. like the Berlin Wall, like doing like cartwheels and like yelling out couch boy and running up and down the streets. And she literally will walk away.
Yeah,
like,
I'll run away from him.
But she definitely doesn't like him as much as probably.
Yeah, I'm not the biggest fan of them. I think what trends I actually like.
So she's being a little, she's not being completely honest. She likes Danger Dale so much that at one of our parties while we were at Michigan, she wanted to dress up as essentially Danger Dale and took the exact same costume and then drew on like sideburns and a mustache.
Oh, that's true.
And went, oh my gosh.
Alter ego.
She was the alter ego. She was like Joanna Dirt, I think she was calling herself. Like walking around as Joanna Dirt.
It derives from the movie. Yeah, Joe Dirt, but that was my little spin off. I think you were embarrassing me that night because I
she took
a mustache, sideburns, and you were like, this is my wife Anne. Sorry, I don't normally look like this.
That's incredible. I love that. So I guess, so getting to Survivor, I guess, Anne, what's sort of been your relationship to the TV show? Like, was Dale a fan? And did he get you into that? Did you guys both discover it together? Like, how did Survivor come into your lives?
Yeah, Dale's definitely been a Survivor fan as long as I've known him. And he got me into the show probably when I was in college. So I graduated 2014. So around that time frame. And then we would watch it together, and he really kind of got me into it, you know, explained the concept of the game, the strategy, you know, how it's really a numbers game. And so if it wasn't for him, I, you know.
She didn't really get it at first. She thought she thought it was just like a Discovery Channel survival show. I'm like,
yeah,
no.
Like, so they eat bugs, and I don't really care to watch that. But then, you know, there's much more drama and depth and personality too. Yeah.
But I got her into I got her to watch Survivor if I would watch Bachelor and Bachelorette with her. So it was kind of a
okay. Mm-hmm. And that's now, a good trade-off.
Yeah, and now we're equally like hooked on both of each other's shows. Like I'm looking forward to Bachelorette every Monday night, and mm-hmm. she's always looking forward to Survivor. So I think it was a good, good trade off for sure.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, that's awesome.
Now equally.
And do you have a favorite season or like a favorite player from the TV show?
I really liked the Tony season. I don't know what season that was.
I don't even know. The
Cagayan. Cagayan, that was.
Yeah, I think we've compared Dale and Tony a couple times, so that tracks.
Yeah,
that
it makes sense.
Maybe that's why I like Tony. You kind of reminded me of him.
There you go.
I'll
take Tony for sure.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
So you guys are at Michigan. Dale's doing his grad work. What point does he come to you and say, hey, I think I want to do this college Survivor thing? Like, what was that process like?
You know, I think he auditioned without even really discussing it with me. I think you were traveling. I think you were on an MBA trip out, gone for a weekend. I wasn't even with you.
This was a ask for forgiveness, not for permission type of thing.
Oh, wow.
I had no idea really what it was. I didn't really understand the concept. And I think after you got the role, do you call it?
I got cast, yeah.
You got cast, he told me. And I was just like, oh, okay, that's interesting, I guess. I didn't really think too much about it. I was just like, you do you.
Yeah. She thought this was like a weekend thing, like just like a small little club. Like she didn't realize extent. And to be fair, I also didn't realize the extent of what it is. I saw a flyer in the bathroom above the urinal. I was like, oh, this looks fun. I ended up flying late when I was out in Jackson Hole on a snowboarding trip. So I was dressed up as Danger Dale because we had a barn dance in Jackson Hole, and I emailed them. I said, hey, I forgot to apply. Can I still apply? And they're like, we're doing auditions already. If you want, we could do it one tomorrow morning. So woke up in the Danger Dale costume because I was a little overserved the night before, did my audition, dressed up as Danger Dale. And then lo and behold, they ended up casting me. But yeah, it was very spur of the moment. And then I told Anne, like, yeah, I'm going to be doing Survivor. I'll kind of leave you alone. Because at that point, didn't have a whole ton of classes. So I think she was excited for me to get the hell out of her space for a while.
Being at school and you, his schedule was always odd. He was always now, you know, so it wasn't anything out of the norm. It's not like he was working a 9 to 5 and then, you know, home for dinner. So I was used to it. It already had been at least a year at that time frame that you had odd schedules and whatnot. Right. So it really didn't affect my day to day very much.
What did you think of the fact that, like, it was all going to be recorded? So I'm sure, you know, obviously Dale had to film a ton of confessionals and the whole thing was going to be put on YouTube. Like, did that hit you guys eventually, or kind of what were your thoughts on that happening in the future?
I don't think I thought about that piece either. No. I would have been more worried if I were you in your shoes.
You kept telling me, don't embarrass yourself.
More so worried about how maybe you treat other people and be perceived, because he has a very competitive mindset, so he'll do anything, say anything, and I'm just like, this is a, you know, a college in Michigan show, is it really worth kind of your reputation or how you're going to be perceived? It's not like you're on the actual show, maybe it'd be worth something. I'm like, what are you getting at the end here? Like, what happens if you win? You know, is it really worth your time and effort and energy? And I've never seen him stress out the way that he has over how many months was it? 3 months or so?
100 days, yeah.
You know, he's been put in a lot of stressful situations, you know, work, school, life over his 29 years, whatever it was at that time. And, you know, he couldn't sleep, like, you know, anxiety. I've never seen him in my whole life like this. So I'm like, I don't know what this show is doing to you.
Wow.
But that was a first for me, just seeing his kind of, you know, losing sleep over it, I guess you could say.
Yeah. That is wild. So this is the newest Dale character, Survivor Dale, has come out. And so now, so at, like, at what point do you start, like, meeting survivors? Do you start to meet the castmates and the crew and stuff? Like, at what point do you start to dip your toe in, like, the Survivor world?
Is that for me or for Anne? For Anne?
For Anne. Like, who are you meeting? Who are you seeing on the crew? Or is it just his thing and you're hearing about it, like, after the fact?
Yeah, I normally hear about it after the fact. I mean, it wasn't until the end of the season that a couple people started coming over. And I think after you filmed the whole season, Dale brought me to at least one survivor party.
Cooper's house.
And everyone was like, oh, Anne. And I'm like, who are these people? Like, can you? I had no idea, you know, because I would hear names at times, but it was all, you know, kind of conjumbled together. But so it was towards the end of the season. A couple of people came over, but I kind of gave them my space. You know, I would be like cleaning or finishing making dinner, and then I'd, you know, either go to bed or, you know, go in the bedroom. You know, because I had to work the next day too. So they would do things more later into the night, you know, 11 p.m. where I wanted to just go to sleep at that point.
Anne was my secret weapon. I would have people over for meetings and Anne would be conveniently just wrapping up dinner and like, oh, would you like some meatloaf? I just cooked some meatloaf for you guys. Oh, hey, Nate, would you like some meatloaf? Anne just cooked a nice, you know, a nice roast. So... A nice home-cooked meal goes a long way in College Survivor.
Oh, my gosh.
That is good to know. People are going to listen to this and take notes now. You're going to influence the next generation of players.
There you go.
So I do have, like, a couple more niche questions that I need to ask. So the wigs. How many are there in your home, like, as of wigs and costumes? Like, it's one of the most entertaining things we've ever seen on College Survivor is all the wigs and costumes and stuff. So that's just like a regular part of your home life.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Short answer. He has a whole bin.
You probably saw like 10% of the wigs that we owned.
Oh my gosh.
Wow.
He just kind of collects things over the years and, I don't know how we some of them we've bought with like Halloween costumes and whatnot.
Well, tell them about our Halloween that you make me do every year for Halloween. The couples costumes.
Oh, yeah. For years, I would always want to do, you know, it's a girly thing, you know, dress up with your significant other and be like a cute, you know, costume together. So we have a handful of those of Halloween costumes. We've been like, what have we been? Cookie Monster, and you were a cookie. And we've been mimes.
We were mimes. We were Daphne and Fred with Scooby-Doo. Like, we've been like so many different things together, and the wigs kind of come from a lot of these couples costumes
Adam that she for
Adam and Eve. So like, we have all these wigs from that, and I just collect them and keep them in a bin. We actually just moved recently, and while we were moving, I was forced to organize, and I have like my winter clothes in Dale's winter collection box, and then there was my fall clothes in Dale's fall collection box, and then I created a swag collection box, and a lot of the wigs ended up in my swag collection.
Yeah.
That's incredible. You would have a swag collection box, like, of course.
Yeah, you don't want to mix that in with the winter collection. You'll never find it.
Getting things as gifts now too, like my family members, my aunts and uncles kind of just know Dale's personality, and they'll be like, oh, I saw this and just thought of Dale, and it'll be like a cheetah leopard suit or something. Well, he collects them.
I did get like a full-blown cheetah suit from her like 75-year-old aunt, so it's pretty dope.
Yeah, the wildest clothing items. It's just like that. Dale would wear that, if anyone.
That is, so now we need to see more of you, I guess, on Survivor. That's the answer we've seen. We've only seen the tip of the iceberg of the wigs and the costumes now. The fandom is going to be clamoring for more.
Who knows? Maybe I'll be on All Stars. We'll see.
Hey, listen, we would not be mad at it. Let me tell you.
No, not at all. Don't even tease us with that.
I know.
So, Anne, did you guys watch the entire season back? Like, have you seen all the episodes?
His season, yes. Yes.
Yeah. Was there anything from the season that you saw that was like either surprising or, you know, just anything that kind of stands out that you got to see that kind of maybe like either shocked you or was just, you know, anything like that?
I was surprised he was willing to do some of the, I mean, not surprised, I guess more surprised that he said it out loud and for everyone to hear, like, you know, sitting in your poop on in a or something like on this stuff. But I have no doubt that he would have done some of those items. I think when he did what I was kind of mad at him was submitting the eye drop one. I put it in his eyes and I was like, no, we shouldn't do that. You shouldn't send that in. Don't send that in. That's really And then like when this started airing, I thought of it again because I totally forgot about it. I'm like, did you actually submit that? And I think he said yes. And then I got mad at him again. Just like, I'm like, that's so mean. I'm very compassionate and I just don't like hurting people's feelings. And I'm like, don't do anything to hurt anyone. But no, that really surprised me.
Yeah. We definitely wanted to see like the, you know, the final immunity challenge be something where, you know, you just had to stand there because especially when Dale mentioned that he would wear a diaper, we were like, okay, well, we need to see this challenge now because that's just absolutely iconic.
Yeah, he would have done anything. I don't know.
One of production's many blunders throughout the season.
So we touched on, you said you're like compassionate. The LRG community is getting big. Obviously we have All Stars coming up. So what are the odds we see Anne in some form of Survivor or LRG someday, maybe an appearance in Survivor Michigan All Stars?
So I have to, Anne just whispered me, what's LRG? It's live.
Oh.
So like versions of like reality shows, but fan-made reality
shows. Oh, okay.
So will you ever be on a fan-made reality show? Unless there's like a Keeping Up with Kardashians reality like fan made show.
I'll do a guest appearance, but yeah. I'll actually be a participant, but that's up to you, babe.
If no, will gonna... you ever be on a Survivor fan made Survivor show?
Oh, probably not. No, I wouldn't be good at that game. I'd probably be voted out first or strung along till the end, and then I wouldn't get any votes.
Way to have some confidence here, Soft.
Maybe like a blood versus water season in the future where you both could play.
We actually were just talking about this, sadly, with our neighbors. Like if I had made it on the real show, or when I make it on the real show, when you're allowed to bring a loved one, it's highly unlikely I actually bring Anne.
Yeah, he already told me straight up I would not. Because he some of the times you have to compete with your loved one, right? So trust my competitive skills. But I'm actually pretty good at sports. I call myself a natural athlete. You know, I'm really good at bags, anything that put me up for. I usually do very well with no prior experience. But for some reason, he doesn't trust me, right? So you're the one with zero confidence in me.
I mean, I think those like loved one challenges are starting go away a little bit.
Yeah, I haven't
so
seen them.
Maybe you'll be able to come on. But if there was like a loved one's challenge involved, probably like.
I mean, you're gonna beat me in like football, or you know, but kind of the games on these types of shows, or you know, carnival type like games.
Yeah, Survivor community, you guys have carny games. You hear that?
No.
No, it's true. So basically, like anything Cooper would be good at, you would also be good at. Is that the vibe I'm getting?
Exactly.
No, but you know what I mean. The games.
Oh yeah.
They come up with games you don't practice at home. You know.
Right.
I don't know what.
Right. That's too funny. So wait, Dale, who did you say you would bring then if there was a competition out there?
Probably my brother. My brother. Because also. Anne likes the show, but she doesn't enjoy engaging in some of the like strategic like analysis that we'll do like post episode. So you guys do the same thing when you watch the game, like the show, you're like, oh man, had Tony done this move or had this player done this move? I wonder how it's, and then you kind of talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
That's boring me. I'm going to bed. So if you were going to invite a loved one, you probably want to like bounce some ideas off of them. And like, here's the situation. We're at final A. Like, here is what I'm thinking. What kind of move? And Anne would be like, okay, can we stop talking about this and go like dance? Like,
I would probably get
lay out on the beach and like hang out. Well, not only the challenge, but like just to have someone to like.
But that is true, because throughout your season, you had kind of a confidant. One of your best friends who was getting your MBA with you.
Yeah. I had a huge Survivor, like one of my good friends was a Survivor friend. And I'd be like, hey.
And they would spend hours, you know, drawing on the whiteboard and bouncing ideas off of each other. So that was Dale's person that he went to, you know, ask things of and confide in. And, you know, Mark really gave you, you know.
His opinion.
And I don't know if you tried doing that with me or I just
didn't. I tried a few times.
I mean, I listened to you, but I didn't have as good of feedback as definitely Mark gave you.
He's a nice person.
I'm just like, don't know what they're feeling.
So Paul and I were talking about this earlier. You know, obviously, you know, we identified with you, Dale, being a little bit older in the Survivor community. So do you think like your age, and definitely chime in too if you, you know, your thoughts on this too. Do you think like being a little older helped you like in the game, you know, in Survivor Michigan, or do you think that didn't really play a factor?
No, I think it absolutely played a factor. I think I told this to someone else in an exit interview. I don't know if I could pinpoint an exact like a moment where it's like, see, this is clearly a representation of me having more life experience.
Mm-hmm.
But just throughout the season, like having worked in a professional setting and working on like fairly diverse teams when I was like I had worked in China for a while, I had worked in Japan. So just like understanding different people, different, you know, personality types and being able to adapt how I treat others based on those personality types. Like, I don't know if someone 18 years old just coming out of high school has necessarily had that same experience to know how to necessarily do that. So I think it certainly, you know, assisted me. I also think the fact that I was 10 years older and graduating that semester, I didn't necessarily have as big of concern of like being super plugged into the survivor community after the, you know, after our, and like viewing these people like, oh, I mean, they certainly still are, but like, hey, these are going to be my friends for the rest of like my college career. So I want to make sure like, that kind of went out the window. And I was like, all right, just win or, you know, go home type of mentality.
Gotcha. Yeah. That makes sense.
Absolutely. That's a good,
we were excited to see somebody a little bit older on the season, just cause
it's a big deal for us. We're not going to lie. We identified it from moment one. We're like, okay, we got our eyes on this guy. He's got to hold it down for the not 21-year-olds.
Yeah.
Didn't you debate not even telling your age, and weren't you going to pretend you were an undergrad? I thought you mentioned that to me once at the beginning.
Yeah, going into it, I was trying to like mask my age, but I like forgot to take off my wedding band. And as soon as I got into the intro, someone was like, oh, you're married. I didn't know like people even looked at it or observed that shit, but I was like, oh yeah. And then it was like kind of hard to lie about my age when someone asked if I was married. So I was like, oh yeah, kind of gave it away. That strategy went out the window.
Yeah, they clocked that wedding ring. We heard Jack do the famous confessional about how you can't play Survivor when you're with a wife. And yet, it was the winner of the season, play Survivor with a wife.
I would argue that with a wife is the best way to play College Survivor. And like, you know, 28 at the time. So I'm 31 now and proud of it. Feels great.
Hell yeah.
31 steps a little differently, but 28. Like to be compared to a 40-year-old, come on, like it's not that old. Cut me a break, but
that's pretty funny, though.
I mean, to be fair, I was a decade older than some of the people, so I could see their perspective.
We were solidly on your side of that argument, let me tell you. Yeah, when we were hearing some of them compare it, we were like, hold on, no, 28 is not 40. 20, I look at 28-year-olds as young now, so
right.
Are there any other, like, I haven't watched a whole ton of College Survivor outside of the Michigan series. Are there any other players within the College Survivor community that were as old as I was?
I don't think so. We not were that I'm aware of. We were talking about that earlier. I think not only are you, and again, I'm not saying oldest as a bad thing, but I think you're definitely, as far as the ones that I've watched, I think you're the oldest College Survivor winner that there's ever been. I'm trying to think back right now, just kind of like running through the Rolodex. I don't think there's been anyone your age on any seasons that I've seen, so you hold a couple of records there proudly.
Proudly was oldest College Survivor player.
I don't know if it was more of a threat, you know, going into the game, or you know, that you were older, or like you were saying, your life experience and all that ultimately helped you
I saw it going both ways. I was concerned that I wouldn't be able to connect with these people, right? Like for instance, TikTok, I didn't have a TikTok, and they were all talking about some of the like things that they grew up with, which were completely different. I grew up on Power Rangers and like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yes.
Talking about like Webkins and God knows fucking what. I'm like, what the hell? So I didn't know if I would be able to relate, but I'm pretty young at heart. So like my young energy was able to at least establish some sort of foundational friendship with all the players. And then it didn't really matter that I couldn't necessarily recite some of the Digimons or whatever the hell they were talking about.
Yeah, it seemed like you connected really well with just about everybody that was out there. Mm-hmm. So that was definitely super impressive, especially, I mean, obviously we saw you connect with Shannon. We saw you connect with Jackson. You know, it seemed like no-brainer stuff for you.
Yeah, I think, like I said earlier, just understanding kind of like what each player was looking for out of the game. I think Jackson was just looking for that bro. So, you know, I was that bro for him. And then, you know, Shannon was just looking for essentially someone that she could trust entirely and not have to talk about the game all of the time and just more relate to the like person on a personal level. So a lot of Shannon's I conversations just didn't involve around like the game at all. Just learning about her family, sharing more about my family, introducing her to Anne. And then like, of course, circling back to gameplay eventually. But I think where Matthew and Shannon's relationship and Jackson Shannon's relationship differed from mine was they would go into those conversations and like go 0 to 60 right away and just, you know, start talking gameplay right away. So yeah, just kind of understanding what people were looking to get out of that whole Survivor experience in the first place.
That's really good. I'm taking notes.
who do you guys keep in touch with still? I mean, I know this was a couple years ago. Are you still close with some of your castmates?
Yeah, I think me, Shannon, Matthew, and like not collectively the group of us, but Shannon, Matthew, mm-hmm. Jackson is who I stay the most in touch with. Again, staying in touch is a relative term. I'm 31 and like Shannon's 21, right? And mm-hmm. I live in a different state than all of these people, but shooting them a text every like here, like now and again, and like saying, hey, saw this, made me think of you or made me think of this experience, and just kind of maintaining that relationship, you know, throughout the year is important. So definitely still keep in touch with all of them. Hopefully they'll visit Chicago sometime soon, or I'll be visiting wherever each one of them live respectively. I still stay in touch with Ivy as well. Probably not at the same cadence as those other three, but still we'll reach out to Ivy every now and then as well. And then there's like a handful of people just from production that I still keep in touch. I think Sam, he actually came over. He was in Chicago for Amazon, and Ann cooked him a home cooked meal because he had been traveling for a while. So he came over.
Oh, that's awesome.
Like, you probably want a home cooked meal. You're probably like sick and tired of eating like, you know, on your stipend for Amazon every day of the week. So let's cook a home meal for you. And a few like Cooper I'll talk to sometimes. So it's just some of those people, but I try to reach out to everyone like on their birthdays and whatnot. I had an hour long phone conversation with Tom throughout like a few weeks ago, and Anne was like flabbergasted about that. So
yeah. I was like, this conversation is so long. It was over an hour.
She thinks it's so funny. She'll like Snapchat me like having conversations with Survivor.
Well, because outside of this circle is so, you know, in awe about what is the Survivor game you're playing. So I'll often snap him when he's doing, you know, either talking to Survivor people or I don't know. Sometimes when you're on these podcasts, I feel like, yeah. I'm like, Dale's on another podcast today. I'm just, you know, here 10 p.m. watching shows by myself. But no, it's fun. But don't you guys also have like an ongoing chat?
Yeah, there's a group me and there's a Snap group. We're probably dating ourselves, the fact that we've used Snapchat so frequently in this podcast. And I don't think Snapchat is a thing amongst probably the majority of these listeners, if I had to guess, but I don't know.
Yeah.
I feel I'm right there with you. So this is a safe place because I'm like, yeah, right. I use Snapchat every day. Sure.
Yeah. And what does your family and friends think of this whole thing with Dale? Like, do they ask you questions about, you know, what he did and seen any of the clips from the show and like, what are their thoughts?
So his family, like brother, sister, his cousins, they're super into the show and they religiously, you know, watch the episode every week and have comments about it. And some of them also, would listen to some of the podcasts. And so they were definitely following. Our friends, not as much. I mean, I would mention it, you know, on my social media or like, you know, retweet or put on my story, some of the clips, like of the ones, you know, like with him smashing a watermelon, that scene. And they'll ask me about it. What is that type thing? And I'll be like, oh, watch. But our friends, I don't know if your friends, close friends.
Tell them about your dad when he like watched a few episodes. And he
Oh, my dad like fell off after like the second episode. He was like, Dale, what did he say? Dale's really swearing a lot.
Yeah.
Everyone really swears a lot. But some of them, you know, he just fell off right away. He couldn't follow. But it's also hard.
Well, he didn't. He only he would watch the show by fast forwarding to the scenes I was in, and only watched my confessional. So he didn't know what was going on.
Yeah. But you know, some of the scenes it's hard to hear with, like, you know, it's not like they had microphones or, you know, so with the wind and, you know, I even had to ask Dale a lot, like, what's going on with this scene or what was
they
this
never
challenge
understood
again?
What was going on with the challenge.
So it was much easier for me to follow because, you know, I had him sitting right next to me explaining. So I can only, you know, imagine. Like, some of your guys' memories recalling all this detail. I don't know how you guys did it. But
So for each of you, I guess separately, so looking forward to the future of College Survivor, obviously Michigan is like one of the foremost College Survivors. It's a big deal. Mm-hmm. What is the advice to the future married couples, husbands and wives that are going to play Survivor with a significant other? What's your advice to them?
I'm going to go first.
To
future married College Survivor players.
I guess just be open and flexible and, you know, kind of letting them do their thing, not asking too many questions. I really just let him go about, you know, whatever he needed to do. I mean, I guess if you're someone that's stressed about where are they every second, but I really didn't care at all. I'm like, if you want to stay up all night looking for idols and be tired the next day, that's on you. Yeah, I mean, it made Dale really happy and he loved it. And, you know, as much as it caused him stress and anxiety, I think it overall, you know, it was a really great experience for him. And, you know, definitely one of the best times he's had over his MBA career. So,
yeah, I think mine would be, for starters, get a comfy couch. Like, like Anne had said, honestly, like, we would stay up and, you know, come home from school or whatever, eat dinner, maybe watch a show with her. And then she'd be like, okay, I'm going to bed around like midnight. And be like, all right, I'm going to go out searching for an idol. So like, while she's going to bed, I'm leaving the house to go out and like search for an idol, or quite frankly, go to our competitions. Cause our competitions were already at like always at midnight as well.
Because so of Nate, right?
I would get home at like 2 in the morning and I didn't want to necessarily wake her up. So I'd crash on the couch, you know, here and there. So comfy couch is important. And then just like finding a, you know, obviously if you're married already, you probably had already found this, but just someone that's so patient and willing to kind of be your supporter throughout the process. Like Ann said, I was super stressed here and there, and she definitely has this, you know, calming personality that just helped me a ton and, you know, made me realize that the game probably isn't all that important in the grand scheme of things. So just having that biggest cheerleader there for you helps a ton in the game, which again probably is an advantage versus the other players, is like having that rock for you, which sounds kind of cheesy, but it is true, especially when you're just have all these emotions that are drummed up.
Yeah, it's very stressful, and I can't imagine balancing school and clubs and sports that you're in. So I don't know how these kids did it, really.
get a mean meatloaf recipe.
Yeah, you will not be home for dinner, your spouse. So I was always just like wrapping it up, putting it in the fridge. You know, I make this nice meal, and then, you know, I would be offended at first, and then I got over it. I'm like, this, you know, I'm just going to get used to him not, you know, eating it hot so he can heat it up when he's ready.
Well, that's awesome advice. I mean, I think, you know, and it's so interesting, you know, you kind of mentioned like, what's cool about College Survivor is like you know, it takes place over, you know, 3 months or whatever, but, you know, you're also living your everyday life too. So I think that's just what makes it so fascinating is, you know, you're not out on an island and Survivor is the only thing you have going on. It's like, you still have to live your life. You still, you know, have to go to school or go to work or, you know, deal with your own personal relationship. So I think, you know, seeing someone who's married obviously is like a first. So that was just so interesting to watch. So I appreciate that, you know, you guys going through that and you know, Dale for applying and, you know, giving the viewers just something interesting to watch, you know, in these games.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we appreciate your support and we're glad that you enjoyed it and we could evoke some of those emotions for people. I guess another piece of advice, as you kind of just brought it up, is do try to set time, like designate a time for your significant other. That's probably something I did a poor job of, as Anne alluded to. I'm like leaving dinners left unate and cold, but I did try to at least have a few hours each day where I was unplugged from the game. And I would oftentimes catch myself at, you know, if we were out to eat or, you know, trying to enjoy each other's companies, like pulling out my phone and texting about the game. And she'd be like, can you put the phone away for just an hour and pay attention to me? So trying to unplug as much as you possibly can and just designate a few, you know, at least a short window that's just designated to another is probably important as well.
That's great. Yeah, that's probably great advice for even people who aren't married to do that when they're playing. So excellent.
Yeah. I mean, it was probably easier for you because I had my work and I had my own things going on, but, you know, I was obviously still going to be here at the end of it. I can't imagine, you know, it probably was harder for people as an undergrad, maybe, you know, balancing relationships and, you know.
Anne was working until 6 o'clock at night every day. So she wouldn't get home until 6:30, you know, 7 o'clock. So it's not like the whole day, whereas like in an undergrad, you might be living together or something and waiting for them around the whole day. It's like there's only the evening hours, which I was MIA.
Well, you guys, this has been an absolute delight. You are both absolutely delightful to talk to. This has been so much fun. Do you have anything to plug? Do you want to plug social medias or anything you're doing right now?
That's all you.
No, I mean, not a whole ton to plug. I guess I am in the process of making audition tape number 2. I came fairly close the first time applying for Real Survivor, so that's in the works. So if anyone out there has any connections to Real CBS Survivor, holler at me. Other than that, I've tweeted Jeff Probst like a series of tweets for a year straight about like Swag Dad Survivor series. And it was like day after day. But yeah, if anyone out there has any connections to casting or whatnot, hit me up. That'd be that's my ultimate dream is to get on the Real show.
Well, you definitely have two very strong supporters in us on this show. And we'll definitely be putting out as many positive vibes as we can for that.
Sweet.
That yes. would be, I mean, anybody can just watch 10 minutes of, you know, Survivor Michigan and like if you're not cast for that reason alone, that's insane.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I appreciate it, you guys. I think one of your podcasts, you were talking like, you know, Dale and Jackson like kind of get lumped into this alpha male thing, but Dale is a I forget what you call me, like he's a weirdo. He's a weird dude.
Yes.
And I absolutely am. Like I'm kind
He's
of like
a weirdo.
I do more on the weird scale than like the alpha bro scale. So I appreciate that you guys picked up on that. And definitely a weird character for sure.
We did and we loved it. And when this comes out, we're gonna tag Jeff in it and tell him, listen, you gotta cast this guy. You gotta let him bring wigs as his luxury item. And TV gold from there.
Sounds perfect. Hey, if you could tweet at Sam and get on the get a podcast out of it, who knows what your tweet the Deaf Pros could bring.
This is what I'm saying. After tonight, we feel like the most powerful men in podcasting. This has been the best episode of the Power Rankings, guys, ever by far. We're so happy to have you guys. Thank you for being here.
Yes,
you're both delightful. Thank you to everybody out there for listening. And until next time, everybody, you guys have a great night, and we'll see you next time.
Bye, everybody.
Yeah.
Bye. Thanks for having us.